Amen. A few years ago, my dad celebrated a significant birthday. And so my two brothers and I, we decided to celebrate by going on a bushwalk in the Blue Mountains. Anyone here bushwalking? Okay, no worries. There's a lovely little bushwalk up at Blackheath. And it's actually called the Grand Canyon, deliberately named. It's a lovely little walk. And so we got about halfway along this walk, and of course the mood of the time had taken us, and we thought, let's celebrate the moment with a selfie. And so the four of us crowded our massive heads into the little screen, and we're like, you know, and we took a photo to remember that moment. And in that moment, my dad, who's now in his late 60s, he's kind of not getting taller anymore. And you can see his face in the bottom of that picture. His white hair, not blonde, thanks Joe, but his white hair, his glasses, and his little goatee sitting there as he kind of peers out. And I love my dad, but when you take a photo of him, he has this, like, he's just got the world's worst photo face. He's he's lost one eye. It's still okay to laugh at him, okay? He's lost one eye, but he kind of, you know, you take a photo of him and he kind of's like this. And but so he's there giving his best photo face here. And then I've got my youngest brother, who's Scott, and he's leaning over my dad like this. He's 6'5", actually. He's very tall. He's also, I call him, I have to correct myself there. I used to call him the Gippo boy, because in our family, he's the one that looks like he was left on the doorstep by gypsies. He's got thick, dark brown hair. His skin, like if you leave him out in the sun, he looks like he's, you know, he's part African. He's just so dark, so tall, and so skinny. He's actually practicing medicine up in the Blue Mountains right now. And then on the other side is me, and that was when I had my, you know, 70s footballer long hair, and I'm like, you know, my massive head obscuring half the photo. And then there's my other brother, Glenn, and he's not quite 6'4", but he's about 6'3", and he's a big bopper. Scotty's quite skinny, but Glenn is probably a bit more, a bit wider. He works as a builder. And if you looked at that photo, if you'd been walking along that track and looked at us, I think you would have come to the conclusion, what an odd assortment of people. Like, we look nothing like one another, which, of course, given my good looks, is terribly bad news for everyone else in my family. But we look nothing like each other. Heights, faces, everything's wrong. I actually once spent half an hour arguing with a cute old lady who went to my church, trying to convince her that my youngest brother was, in fact, related to me. And like, she's just like, I don't believe it. Now, but the thing is that in our family, if you hang around us for long enough, you actually start to pick up, we're the bunch of people who all laugh at the person who gets hurt. You know, everyone else is like, oh, are you okay? And we're And additionally, that booming voice that is coming at you through the speaker system this morning, we all have the same voice, to the point where once when I was at home, someone rang up and I said, yeah, g'day, this is the Walkers. And the voice on the other end said, oh, Steve, I'm so glad I got you. Steve's my dad's name, and proceeded to unload on me all her family situation. And I, you know, it was an odd, like, I'm like, if you've ever tried to interrupt an emotional woman almost on the brink of tears, it's impossible. All I could do was just wait until she breathed and then go, I'll just get my dad for you now. And then put the, you know. Now, I did not ask for that resemblance. It's just in me. My brother has the same voice. When he's working on a building site, he doesn't even have to shout. And yet the apprentice on the other side of the building site will hear that. And my youngest brother, it's quiet spoken, but when he wants to make his point, he can make his point across the room. We didn't work for it. It was simply given us. And what I want to begin today is that we're all like our dad. We are all like our dad. And we just read together the scriptures this morning. And it says this, and depending on where you've come from, we can have lots of experiences that bring us to different perspectives on God. But the perspective that I want to focus on this morning is simply this one. For those of you who are following along, the Lord, the God that we have sung praises to this morning, is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. We serve a compassionate God this morning. And if you're trying to pin down this word of compassion, you know, we can circle around it and begin at sympathy, and I'm sure you've all seen someone stub their toe this morning in the kitchen. I'm making breakfast. My daughter comes up and we've got a barricade to keep the kids around, and she's bonk, hits her toe. I'm a bit distracted and I look over and she's got a bit of a sad face. She's not really crying. And so I think that must have hurt. And sympathy is trying to understand how someone else feels. I wasn't too empathic. That's more my wife's department. My empathy is a bit more about actually trying to put yourself in their shoes and go, if I had just kicked the barrier, how would I be feeling right now? But then when we get to this idea of compassion, it's actually not just a feeling, but a feeling that stirs us to action. And we can see that in the scripture that we've just read, that the Lord is compassionate and merciful. And that heart of God leads him to act in certain ways. He is slow to get angry. As we read on, he takes away any offense that we have committed against him. He moves it away. Compassion moves us. It's why a certain charity has stolen that name and said compassion. Why? Because we don't want to just feel sympathy for starving children. We don't just want to put ourselves in their place, but we actually want to make a difference in their lives. And that is the God that we serve this morning. When he first revealed himself to Moses on the mountain, he said, Moses, hide in a crack in the rock because I'm about to come by. And he says, I am Yahweh, the Lord who is compassionate. And it's not just an Old Testament thing that we're exploring this morning. When Jesus walked this earth and he heard that his cousin John had been beheaded, he went away to get some R&R. And if you're following along at home, Mark 6, if you want to check it out later, but he says, come on, boys, let's go. And they row across the lake. And as he sets foot, the crowds come. And Mark records that Jesus looked at the crowds and was filled with compassion. And it changed what he was going to do. And he didn't have his day of R&R, but he stopped. And he turned to their need and said, I'll give you my day. At this time when I, as a son of man, am struggling to come to terms with my cousin, whom I love, I will give you a day. We serve a God of compassion this morning. A God who not just feels, but acts. And I want to bring this word this morning for us all. But I want to bring this message especially to those of you who share a similar life situation to me. I want to speak specifically just for a few minutes to dads. And if you're not a dad here, tune in. This will come in handy. If you're a mum, may come in handy too. But I think particularly, I just want to speak to dads. And as we read just a few verses further down, he talks about this. The Lord, in verse 13, is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate. And I think that the world in which we live is not a world that embraces compassion. If you're thinking on an international level now, right now in the US, we have a man potentially going to be the leader of the United States, depending on which commentators you follow, but his approach to leading one of the most influential nations in the world is to build a wall and ban a culture. Now, while there may be great reasons for that, building a wall or cutting off a culture are not the actions of compassion. If we look a little closer to home, we have elected a government that is saying to some of the most vulnerable people on the face of this earth, if you come by boat, you will never come here. Whatever else contributes to that decision, it is not a decision of compassion. We live in a time that is crying out for compassion. And if you're anything like me, being a dad is hard work. Hard work. Shout out to old mate there with the baby carrier on the chest. Solid brother, I'm with you. It's good, it's good. I'll share a bit of a story. Like most of us, I got a deadline. I got to get out of the house during the week, and as my house is a little chaotic with 4 under 5 now, I try and lend a hand as best I can. And I've got she's on the verge of being 3, but communicates like she's 30. And very sure of her own mind, very capable. And so the other morning, what do you want for breakfast? And she chose scrambled eggs, her favourite meal. So I make her a bit of scrambled eggs. And we're sitting there, and I'm the barista in the morning. It's very good, very good. If you're looking for a Christmas present, bag of Single Origin, thank you very much. So I'm working away, and so my back is to the dining table, and I'm hearing my wife say, "Come on, Azura, just eat." And very clearly, no, not emotional, not worked up, just flat, no. And there's something in me that when I hear that, there's a little bit of, just for you guys, a little bit of this, okay, you know? And so, and my wife, and she's got 2 babies in front of us. She's got our other daughter who's actually doing pretty well in this morning. And she's like, "Come on, Azura, just eat." And she, no. And again, and I'm making the coffees. And she goes, "Azura, will you please eat?" And I, with half an eye on the time, the other half of the eye watching the coffee come through the bottomless water filter. Oh, okay. And I'm like, didn't even turn around. I just said, "Azura, eat your breakfast." No. And I felt it. And I stopped what I was doing, hit the button on the machine. I walked over to her and I said, "What did you say?" She looks at me, all of like this much of her. "No. You do not say no to me. I am your father." "No." "Right." Boom. Grabbed her little cheeks. Yeah. And then she knew. Ah! No tears, just a lot of noise. Grabbed the spoon. And she's like, "I'll do it, I'll do it." And I'm like, "You do it." And then she's like, holds a spoon, and so I let her go. Eat. And I've got to tell you, I got out the door when I needed to. But I don't think I was a compassionate dad. I discovered that the next morning when we had pretty much the exact same situation. But because my wise wife had said to me, let's try something different. When she said that, instead of storming over and squeezing her little mouth and saying, I can make you do this, I sat down next to her and I said, Zoe, do you want to sit on Dad's lap? And she went, yes. And she ate her whole breakfast without a problem. I'm like, what the heck am I doing? There I was. I was so focused on my schedule and on my agenda that I didn't allow compassion to rise. And I think that's the world that we live in. You know, if your life is anything like my life or anything like the people that I live with, you're out the door 7, 8 o'clock. You don't come back 10, 12 hours later. Sometimes if you're in a family where there's a mum and a dad, it's the same for both. Because to live in this world, it seems like we've just got to earn more. If we want to be a good dad, we've just got to provide more. And yet what God says is that being a good dad is about being tender and compassionate and about allowing the love for your kids to seep into the way that you act towards them. And not just limit yourself to the role of provision, not just limit yourself to protector and provider, but actually to engage on a compassionate level. And it's a challenge. But here's the thing. He's our dad. We're like him. It's actually in us. See, if I go back to my little sad, happy, funny story, I didn't have to change anything about who I was. I just had to realize who I am. And when Jesus talks about being born again, when Paul writes to the Galatians about being crucified with Christ and Christ living in me, when he writes to the church in Rome, renew your mind, that is what God has given us. It's already here because we're just like our dad. It's just that we live in a world that just wants us to be like them and not like our dad. And if you're a dad this morning, I want to challenge you. Allow your compassion to rise. Allow your compassion to rise. And I don't usually do this, and actually I'm not quite sure of the culture of your church. But if you're a dad this morning, I want to pray for you right now. And so I'm going to ask you if you want to receive that prayer. And I'm simply going to pray for compassion to rise in your life. And I'm going to ask you to stand. Right now. Don't feel obligated. Don't worry about what the person next to you is thinking. But if you want compassion to rise, let's pray. Father, we declare the truth this morning that you are our compassionate Father. And Lord, we experience the reality each day of a world that does not want us to be men of compassion. And yet, Holy Spirit, we receive you fresh this morning. That this would be a week where who you are is seen clearly in us, where the fresh life that you breathe into us flows out of us, where that love that ran so red at the cross, Lord Jesus, would run so clearly in our lives that our families would know the difference, that our friends would feel the warmth of our compassion, that they would see the action of our compassion. God, that those who are around us in our professional spheres would see that you are a God of compassion, because we are men of compassion. And so, Holy Spirit, we receive that new life again this morning. Amen? Amen. 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 And if you're not a man, a dad, and you want compassion, go to one of the guys who stood up and say, hey, give me something that you've got, because we've all got it. But here's the thing. When it comes to compassion, in my kind of awkward introduction with Joe, I talked a little bit about how I've been doing youth work for a while. I think, Jono. A lot of loud noises. But, and not just the kids either, by the way. But but Jono said, how long have you been doing this? And I remembered back to when a mate of mine, Brad, when I was 14. And he said, come. Help us. Help us in our youth work. And since then, I've done youth work. I've worked residentially in crisis accommodation centres. I've been a youth worker in jails and youth detention centres. I've done street work. I've worked in, I've done a fair bit of street work, actually, and worked as a church-based youth worker. But I'm starting to see a different angle on it. And when I was young, I saw youth work as just being a brother to people who didn't really have a brother, because that's who I was. And then you get to that stage where you kind of become the older brother, and that's kind of a different thing. And then I think for a long time I saw myself as a bit of an uncle to people who are looking for an uncle. You know, you can't force it on them, but some people respond well to that. But I'm finding more and more that as my hair is no longer quite as blonde as it once was, that I just seem to be slipping into being a dad. I'll tell you a story. Excuse me. There's a young man who I've gotten to know, and his name's Cougar. And his dad, well, actually, he's now 17. When he was 5, his dad went to jail. Went to jail for 10 years. And he doesn't really have any other family outside of his immediate family. He's the oldest boy in his family. And when he was 15, his dad got out. And he said to me, actually, the other day, he goes, and I felt like when my dad came out, he said, you're 15 now, you're on your own. And so even though Cougar was still living at home with his family, his dad said, oh, now you're your own man. And I remember having a bit of a late night conversation with Cougar, and he was telling me this is part of his story. And like I guess we sometimes can do as blokes, wasn't too comfortable expressing that emotion. He said, I just never felt like I've ever had a dad. And recently, when he graduated from high school, his mum bought gifts for his sister's friends, but bought him nothing. And he's a guy who, when I talk about a dad, his instinctive response is hatred. You're talking about a father, I want nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. I'm talking to another young guy, his name's Yoshi, he's a bit younger. He's only 15 now. His dad actually goes to church. But his dad's response to anything he does, and Yoshi's, let's say he's having a hard time at school right now. words like suspension and expelled are frequently used in conversation. And his dad's response is, "I will kick you out of home." Now, he can go live with his mum, but his mum is actually recovering from a drug addiction right now. And he's just trying to find out who he is in this world. Cougar and Yoshi, they're not even at a place where their mind is open to learn. They just need compassion. And it scares me. Because as I allow God to open my heart, it gets harder. Because now I don't just have four girls to worry about. I've got to go, well, where do these guys fit in now? Son, tonight we're going to play a bit of touch footy, we're going to have a feed, and then we're going to talk about Jesus. And my girls, who this morning said, "Daddy, don't go. I don't want you to go. I don't get to tuck them in to bed. I don't get to read them a story." Now, that's not a big deal, maybe for you, but I want to be a good dad. I don't want my life to be a presentation where I step on a stage and something happens. I want to be an exporter, that what I've got at home, I export overseas. That what I do in my work life is actually a flow on from the person that I am at home. And so I guard my heart and my home, because from there, that's going to set the course of my life. And if I try and do it the other way, I just live a hollow life, like a chocolate Easter bunny. Looks good on the outside, maybe even a little tasty, but just nothing but air inside, hey? And that is not the journey that Jesus calls us onto. The world that we live in is crying out for compassion. Compassionate women, compassionate men. I don't know why it is, but I think that ladies are often just more compassionate. Not all, but often. But even so, we need people of compassion. And I just want to wrap up this morning on this final point. It was compassion that led Jesus to this earth. It was not obligation. It was not a sense of duty. I think when it boils down to it, it wasn't even part of the plan. It was compassion. And as he hung there on that cross and had the crowd looking up to him and said, "You think you're something special? Well, now's the time to deliver, mate." And yet he looked down and said, "Father, forgive them." Compassion is a pathway of courage. It's the pathway of Christ. And that's what he invites us into this morning. And it's difficult, I think, to give what you've never received. Some of us have great dads who are very compassionate. Some of us have dads who were great dads but still not compassionate. And some of us not. And yet God says, "I will be your father." And if you're here this morning and you want to experience the compassion of that Father, maybe it's for the first time. Maybe it's been a long time since you felt it. Then Jesus is inviting you this morning. He's just saying, "I love you. I want you to be a part of my family." And I just love to pray for you. And so if that's you this morning, if you're standing here and you're saying, God, I want to experience that compassion fresh in my life. I'm just going to ask you right now just to raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you. Thanks. It's courageous, mate. It is courageous. So I appreciate it. I don't want to pressure anyone. Also, I don't want anyone to miss out. All right. Let's pray. Father, you are a good, good Father. I want to thank you for the way that you have spoken and moved in our lives and the way that you've spoken and moved this morning. And God, I want to recognize the courage of that young man who was just honest with you this morning, who was courageous enough to raise his hand. And I ask that right now, God, you'd fulfill your promise and that you'd allow him to experience your love and compassion. God, that those areas of his life where he feels that there is a lack, that you would, as you promised, make him complete through the experience of your compassion. God, I thank you for the compassion that is already flowing in the hearts of those fathers who stood earlier today. And Lord God, I pray for us as your family, that we would have the courage to allow compassion to invade our schedules. That we would allow compassion to interrupt our conversations. That we would allow, God, compassion to hit our projects. That, God, this is not just something that we're picking up today, but that as we go into our working weeks, Lord, we step into a world that needs compassion. So, Jesus, we ask you today to fill us fresh with your love. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Thanks.